Thank you for joining us for Your Marketing Copilot, which is a production of ABCI. ABCI specializes in cost-effective marketing systems and campaigns in the aviation industry. I'm Paula Williams, a marketing consultant with ABCI and the instructor for ABCI's Marketing Masterclass, a course designed for business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs who would like to improve their marketing results. More information about the Marketing Masterclass is also available on our website, abci1.com. Well, welcome to Your Marketing Copilot. Today, I'm really excited to have Colin Desmuid from Infusionsoft on the program. Colin is an entrepreneur, national speaker, trainer, coach, and author of four books and numerous industry white papers. Colin founded the annual Mortgage Marketing Review Conference and was the former CEO of the fastest-growing training company in the U.S. Colin has personally and or through Infusionsoft consulted with thousands of businesses and has been described as being on the cutting edge as a speaker and marketing expert. And Colin, it's great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited about being with this this industry. I like to fly. So is that good?
That is good. Are you a pilot, Colin, or do you like to fly as a passenger?
I like to fly as a passenger. I don't know if I trust myself at the controls.
Oh, wow.
I
really don't. Trust anybody
just,
else.
Just stick to the ground. Leave it to the professionals.
Okay. Well, that's we love passengers that are like that, and that's a great thing. And anyway, the reason I asked Colin to be on the program is for two reasons. One is because I really like his software. A lot of the folks that we consult with have issues with, you know, all of the crazy things that we ask them to do in the prospecting phase, in the follow-up phase, in the referral phase, and things like that. There's a lot of work to be done, and Infusionsoft is great software that I use, and having the people that that work that software on, I thought would be a great idea for that reason. And the other reason is because of the way Infusionsoft and the way that Colin markets that software. So I really have two ulterior motives that I'm telling you up front, so I guess they're not ulterior anymore. Great. So, Colin, could you tell me a little bit about the importance of a process in marketing?
Yeah. You know, it's a process allows a business to go from really complete ambiguity to a systematic approach. I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it, but in terms of a personal situation, let's say you were going to go run a marathon, Paula.
Uh-huh. Have
you done that?
I have not.
Okay, so let's say you're going to go run a marathon, and you could just go out and start running, but you'd really have no idea how far you were running or what the strategy was. You just go out and run. And so the bottom line is, like anything else in life, if you don't have a set goal and a process to get there, that roadmap, then you're leaving it all to chance. And I call that, most marketers are really gamblers because they don't have systems and processes in place. And so if you can imagine that, just going out and starting to run and maybe try to fake it through, and then eventually you get to your course objectives and you have to run 26.2 miles and you're completely unprepared, as are most small businesses when prospects come in the door, when they actually do get a customer, when they make a sale and they try to retain that customer, a lot of that is left to chance. And it's really the last thing we want to do as entrepreneurs, as small business owners, as marketers, is leave anything to chance. And a process keeps that from occurring. A process means that I'm in charge of what's happening in my business at every step of the game. And I developed, Paula, what I call the perfect customer life cycle. It's everything that occurs with a customer from start to finish, from prospecting to lead acquisition all the way through client for life strategies and everything that should happen in between. In fact, I'll give you a little bit more about that in a minute if you'd like to hear it, but it just says that, you know, something should be thought out and it should be systematized from the time that you acquire a lead to all the education, to the expectations that are set, all the way through the sales process, regardless of how long it is. And I know you have a very long sales process, and some people's some businesses are shorter, some businesses are longer, but which just means the process is a little bit different. But it is still a process. So I developed this perfect customer lifecycle to really show every business, especially small businesses, what it could be like if they had the same type of resources as, let's say, an Apple computer, and it was their business was that systematic and that sophisticated. If they had those kind of resources, what would they put in place?
Right.
And the end goal with, especially in terms of marketing, a lot of people think that there are brilliant marketers out there. There aren't. There are just a lot of Thomas Edisons out there, people who are willing to measure and tweak. And that's what marketing is all about. And unless you have a process in place, then it becomes very, very difficult to measure and tweak along that customer life cycle, because you're never quite sure what the numbers look like. If my conversion rate's 1% with this message, okay, let me change the message and see what my conversion rate is with this message and what's more effective. So the process is just, it's critical for all businesses, small and large.
That's great. I'm going to come back to that perfect customer lifecycle in just a minute, but that Thomas Edison idea, I think a lot of the folks that I work with feel like they have to invent the light bulb. They feel that marketing is a creative exercise where, we're trying to teach them that it's not. You can use things that are already in place. And a lot of the things, that I found in Infusionsoft have been really helpful as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you a true story.
Okay.
My son came home and he wanted help with a quiz he was going to have for the next day. And one of the questions was, what was Thomas Edison famous for? Oh, no, I'm sorry. What was Henry Ford famous for?
Okay.
And so I asked him the question. He said, well, he invented the automobile. I said, well, not even close. In fact, he was about 100 years late. But he did invent the system and the process that revolutionized industry in the early 1900s that allowed us to really get to the next level in a lot of different businesses. And, of course, someone took it one step further and they automated the whole thing, mm-hmm. which is what we did in Infusionsoft. And he had to argue with me a little bit. He said, no, my teacher, she told me he invented the automobile. I said, believe me, he didn't. He just perfected that process to get the automobile to market. And, yeah, it's just like Edison. There's a lot of people that define creativity in different ways. But for me, creativity is just, you're just willing to try one more time and one more way.
Right. That's very true. And, so now we've kind of talked about the necessity of a process, and hopefully people are on board with that. Tell us more about the perfect customer lifecycle and how that works.
Yeah, well, I was trying to imagine what it would be like if a small business did have a similar process as, let's say, an Apple computer, because their marketing is so sophisticated. At every step of the game, they're prepared to communicate, set expectations, and they measure everything along the way. And so the perfect customer lifecycle really is 8 phases with distinct goals. And I'll just run through them very quickly, because I know we just have a half an hour here. But phase one is to generate interest. Let's say, let me take a step back.
Let's say
you were creating a personal relationship with somebody. We know, like, you were going on a first date, and your intention was eventually to get married. That type of process, that discovery process, where you're getting to know each other, your likes and dislikes, what's relevant, what's irrelevant, whether you have the same objectives, and all the energy that goes into that, and not to mention in the dating process, but once you're married and you've closed the deal, that's the sale.
Okay.
A lot of people, just like a lot of businesses, tend to slack off at that point. And we all know that it takes considerably more to acquire a new customer than it does to service or sell to an existing customer. So the real value is continuing that relationship and continuing that passage and that discovery, that passion and discovery process once the deal is closed. But it's the biggest problem I see with most businesses today. Once the sale is made, they want to go back to the next hot prospect. Well, how do you keep everything fresh for the rest of your life through client for life strategies? Well, that's what the perfect customer lifecycle was all about, from A to Z. How, now, just imagine what it takes to create that kind of personal relationship with just one individual. And now think about expanding that to, let's say, if you generated 500 new leads for your business today. How could you possibly physically handle that business if you didn't have a process and a system that was automated and in place? Just imagine that. I mean, it's just, it'd be overwhelming. And that's
exactly
that's the kind, most businesses never get to that point because they're so overwhelmed in just the first couple of stages of the perfect customer life cycle that they never even make it through the other six or seven phases. But if you really want to differentiate yourself, mm-hmm. just learn to create a great relationship throughout that customer life cycle. Do you want me to run through each stage real quick?
Well, let me just make a comment or ask a question, and you can comment on this as you go through the eight phases. In aviation, one of the bizarre things about it is that a lot of the companies that we work with have very few or a relatively few number of leads. Or target customers, and they need to close a fairly small number of transactions. So, you know, this fits in perfectly. You know, obviously, if somebody buys something from you and becomes a repeat customer, you could make a very good living off of, 10 to 100 to 500 customers, as opposed to a lot of businesses that are in the millions and you know, sub-millions and things like that. So,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to hear the steps.
Yeah. Well, first, you know, the first phase is you've got to acquire a customer.
Right.
You've actually got to find them. And then you've got to retain them. And again, it's in that middle that most businesses I consult with, I see dropping the ball. But starting out, you just want to generate interest some way. Your goal is to get visitors looking at your stuff. But, you know, Seth Godin had a great quote not too long ago. He said, the problem we often face is that we think that the issue is that there's not enough people looking at our offer, at our business, when in fact the real problem is that how inefficient our funnel is. And it was a great quote. I love Seth Godin. And so typically when we talk about phase one and generating interest, there's people looking at your stuff. It's what you do with it after that that differentiates you from the other businesses. So phase two is capturing leads. You've got to capture people who visit your marketing in some fashion, some form, which could look like 100 different things. It could be a consultation. It could be a product offering. It could be a sample. It could be a million different things. It could be a video series. But something of value to capture people. If you don't capture them, it's a lost opportunity. And phase three is just educating and building trust. And with a long sales cycle in the aviation industry, building trust is probably a very challenging thing to do. Am I wrong?
You are absolutely right. That's probably the longest step in this cycle.
I can imagine so. So how do you build trust with someone? Well, you certainly want the opportunity to build trust early on by making small promises and keeping up with them by educating clients about the expectations of doing business with you. And very few people or very few businesses are actually going to go to that extent. They think, oh, I've got a product, either you want it or you don't want it. Well, it's actually an emotional purchase most of the time. So so that's very critical, that stage, especially in the aviation industry. And step four is converting that lead. And by the way, there are a number of bullet points under each of these phases, but I'm just kind of giving you the general rundown. So phase four is actually converting that lead. And by the time, think back to your personal relationship, if you've done everything else in the dating process really well, and there's mm-hmm. been a great discovery process, and everybody's been open and somewhat vulnerable with each other, at that point, the purchasing decision is never a surprise. It's never a surprise if somebody says, will you marry me? It should never be a surprise if you've done everything right. It should never be a surprise that you're getting to the point of purchase. It should almost be your customer should be saying, you know what, we've been through everything. I've seen everything. Where do I sign?
It should be
that kind of relationship. And from there, you need to process the sale. Now, here's, again, it's after the deal is done where I see people making the majority of mistakes. And here's what I mean. Every single person, every buyer, regardless of the price tag, and in aviation the price tag is kind of high.
Yeah.
Everybody has buyer's remorse. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're buying a piece of clothing or you're purchasing an airplane or services or consulting. Everyone has buyer's remorse. So immediately after the sale is closed, it's our job to completely reinforce that purchase. And whereas before the sale was made, we may have been selling benefits, which you should be, rather than features.
Right.
After the sale, we want to bring features back into the process because people, if they made an emotional purchase, which people always do, they didn't think about the features. And so it's a good time to remind people about the benefits and the features after the sale and reinforce why they actually made that. Very important in the sales process. And then phase six is really fulfilling and wowing, is getting people to adopt the product or service, whatever you're selling. They need to adopt it, and not just partially. They need to adopt it. If you have 10 features in your product or your service, then they need to be adopting the majority of them, not just one or two. If they're just adopting one or two, then you've done a very poor job reinforcing the sale after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a very poor job educating people. And what will ultimately result is that you get fewer referrals, because servicing existing customers is not just about repeat sales, it's about referrals also.
Right, right.
And so phase seven of the eight is upselling or cross-selling, offering additional services. Once the trust is built, once I know that I've got a good relationship with you, people will come back time and time again. And they'll want to do, and because there's that comfort level established. In fact, I would always prefer to go back to the same person, even if just because I trust them, just because I don't have to go look at somebody else and establish the same trust. We're creatures of comfort.
Right.
And so make sure that people have that opportunity. And the last phase is just creating advocates by getting testimonials, referrals, and continuing to educate our existing customers. And so those are the eight phases of the perfect customer lifecycle.
That's
pretty simple stuff.
It is. I would say, from my experience of working with companies, a lot of people put a lot of energy into some of these steps and they ignore others. Have you found that as well?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Again, we tend to do what's simple, mm-hmm. and what we like to do. And the rest gets ignored.
Right.
Some people are good educators. They're good documentation specialists, but they're not good relationship people.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have to understand all those facets of the customer lifecycle, which, again, if you go back to process, if these eight phases are part of your process and you measure at each phase, and you actually poll your customers about what they experience during those phases, then it no longer becomes a question mark about why your business is where it is. It's no longer a question of whether it's going to be successful. It's a question of how successful is it going to be. Well, it depends on how much of an Edison you want to be and how much you want to continue to tweak and measure.
Exactly. Right. So, for some folks, this may work really well. They get a process in place. They get enough leads to satisfy their business objectives and leave it where it is and never have to touch their marketing system other than, to update it for, changes in product, changes in market, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the old Abraham Lincoln quote. If you give me 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend the first six sharpening my axe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just putting forth the front end effort.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people will do that because they don't have the faith that the work they're doing now will pay off in the long run. We like that immediate gratification.
Exactly.
I do too.
But
I clearly understand the benefits.
Absolutely. Well, given that model of immediate gratification, I would say, if I were to use this model and apply it to a lot of what I've seen, a lot of people spend an awful lot of time on steps one, which is generating interest, and four, which is converting the lead, and not much effort or time or anything else on any of the rest of the phases.
You hit the nail on the head. You could almost say that, yeah, that most businesses have two phases of a customer life cycle,
uh-huh.
just not the perfect customer life cycle, which includes the other six phases. So you hit the nail on the head. That's where most businesses are. And mentally, again, if we've got a hot lead, we want to chase them and close them down. It's just that the vast majority of our leads are not hot right now. We haven't created a relationship. And if we have a system and a process that's automated, we do have that opportunity.
Right. So if we go back to your marathon example, you know, if you're selling cups of Gatorade at the end of a marathon, you probably only need to do step one and step four because people are already obviously, you know, interested and motivated and right there. But, you know, in a situation where I would say the more complicated and the more expensive your product is, the more time you need to spend on these other steps. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that's where it really hits home is when you have a long sales cycle. It becomes much more apparent. I would say people in a long sales cycle are probably seeking out these types of solutions. At least I hope they are.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good thing that you're out there providing them for people. But they're probably seeking these things out because they know it is a long sales cycle and it's challenging between phases. Whereas people in a shorter sales cycle, you know, they can get away with that immediate gratification a little bit more.
Right. Right. Okay. So, you know, this is a lot of work, these eight steps. And if I'm an insurance guy or an aviation attorney or something like that, how am I going to find the time to get all this done?
Well, you've got to ask yourself one question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have time not to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So do you want your business to be successful, or do you want to be looking for a job or another business a year from now? And especially in a down sales cycle like we're in, I mean, this is challenging for everyone, not just big ticket items, long sales cycle. It's challenging for everyone in this economic climate. The people who will be very, very successful coming out of this economy are the people who establish the processes now. And so I think the people who understand that really well are going to understand that they need to take the time now and put those systems and processes in place because it will pay off much later.
In the long run.
In the long run, yeah.
Right.
It's in fact, there was an interesting NPR story. We got about 2 minutes I can share it with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know where we were at on time. So there was an interesting NPR story about this scientific study done at Stanford University, and they took a bunch of kids and they put them in a room, and they offered them a marshmallow. Have you heard this one?
I have. This is a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. And they offered them a marshmallow, but if they could delay eating that marshmallow for 10 or 15 minutes while the adults went out and did their own thing, if they could delay eating that marshmallow, they could get two marshmallows in 10 or 15 minutes. Well, the interesting thing was, guess what? That's 100% return on your investment.
Yeah.
Going one to two. It's 100% return. And guess what? I see that in business every day. I see 100% return happening from minor tweaks all the time. I really do, along the perfect customer life cycle. But what they found amongst these kids was, first of all, the vast majority of them mm-hmm. could not wait for the second marshmallow. Over 70% ate the one marshmallow. They weren't going to wait for the second. They needed the immediate gratification. But what they found was the kids who could wait for the second marshmallow were much better adjusted. They formed stronger and more meaningful social relationships, and their SAT scores on average were 210 points higher as they followed them later in school. So they were dramatically more successful because they understood the importance of delaying that immediate gratification. And for us in business, it means putting the processes and systems in place now so they pay off for us in the long run. So what a great study it was.
Yeah, that is a great story. And I think, you know, that also illustrates the importance of that long process. You know, you can't close too soon. You can't go for that converting the lead before you spend the time on the steps before that.
Yeah, and don't forget about all the leads who aren't hot right now,
mm-hmm.
because that's most of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a great story. Well, in terms of automating the process, you know, where, you know, if I'm a very busy person, one of the things that I really like about Infusionsoft is it allows me to be in two places at once or more than that. So, you know, that automation is really helpful.
Yeah.
I'm sure you spent a lot of time figuring out how to make that easy for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I would imagine people even listening to this call probably can't even comprehend, you know, what automating sales, marketing, and customer relations is all about. So I just, you know, I encourage you, don't worry about it. I couldn't imagine it either, and that's why my business failed, because I didn't have a lot of leverage in my business. And there was a recent study of small business owners, and it showed that their number one concern was how to get the most out of their existing resources. In other words, how do I leverage myself? And that's what automation is all about. You know, Henry Ford, I gave that example. Well, he created mass production, the assembly line, but it was a manual process. And evolution came along, and evolution said, well, somebody has to now have machines that do all those things that were manually done before. And that was the next phase in the Industrial Revolution, was to automate all the things that Henry Ford created on the assembly line. And we're kind of in that phase now. Businesses who understand automation are taking it to the next level, whereas businesses who are still doing everything on a manual process are kind of going to be stuck in the dark ages, and they're going to be left behind. So the automation process is very, very important, and I don't want anybody to take it lightly. And sometimes it is difficult to grasp everything that I'm talking about. How do I automate all those eight phases of the perfect customer lifecycle? Well, it's definitely a science and an art form, and I just encourage people to get a great education, go to Infusionsoft or whatever, and get some education about how to apply it to your business.
That's great. You know, I think a lot of people in aviation and in the high-value customer arena are afraid of automation because they don't want their customers to be felt like they're being processed by a machine in a way. But, you know, one thing that I found is that if you automate some of the steps, like, you know, have it automatically remind you that you need to call someone, you can do a non-automated process in this structure, and you actually have more time to do the things that you actually need to be doing as a human being if you've got the software helping you in the background.
Yeah, you know, you made a great point. And for example, I have a 13-year-old son, and he's just had to get braces. And although I saw the doctor for only 5 minutes through the entire process, I got so much education from that doctor about what the expectations of coming to each visit, a rewards program that he's got in place, and all those things occurred after I created this relationship with this doctor. And all those things are very, very powerful, and they just reinforce what we did. I don't think any of us would have a problem if we're in back to that dating situation I mentioned earlier.
Right.
If we actually called 1-800-Flowers and flowers were delivered, that's kind of an automated process. But, you know, I don't think anybody's got a problem. I don't think whoever the recipient of those flowers was, I don't think they thought, well, you know what, that was an automated process. It wasn't very personal. I don't think anybody's going through that thought process.
Right.
So it's still a very, very personal approach. It's just using an automated system to make it happen.
Right. Exactly. And I think, you know, that's really the great thing about the software that I've found is that it's very customizable. It'll do pretty much anything that you need it to do. Once you've got that process together, you can, you know, pretty much set it up so that it will do the parts that can be automated, remind you of the things that can't be automated so that you do them on time and you remember people's birthdays and you remember people's, you know, where they are in the process and what needs to come next.
Yeah, and you send out the information that's relevant for that particular client. And, you know, it's all about treating people as individuals. You know, back in the early 1900s when the telephone was just getting going, there were all these great quotes about, oh, the telephone will never catch on, and why do we need telephones? Because we have messenger boys. And it's kind of the same way now. Social media, a lot of people think, oh, well, that – keeps people from having this personal relationship, but it doesn't really. It's almost the same kind of conversations that people were having back in the early 1900s about the telephone. It actually did bring people closer together, brought the world together. And social media is doing the same thing, and automating your marketing, sales, and customer relations does, it takes it another step for your business. It really is that next phase in the evolutionary cycle of building a process in your business, which is a little scary for people, and that's okay. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm not sure about this, don't know about it, a little scared about it.
Mm-hmm.
Completely okay. Go get some education.
Exactly. Well, let's wrap up with that that idea of education. I know there's a lot of places that and of course, our listeners know that you can always go to abci1.com for more education opportunities, including the masterclass. We also have an affiliate relationship with Infusionsoft. So you can get to their website from ours, or you can go to infusionsoft.com. And did you have anything to add to that, Colin?
Well, you know what? I wish we had done something special for you guys, but maybe we can in the future. But here's what I'd like to tell everybody if you're listening in on this call. If you go to whatever link that you have on your site for Infusionsoft, mm-hmm. it will be our primary objective is really to have a high-level consultation with you and kind of start giving you the education about how to implement these systems and processes in your business. And our sales guys are not they're not looking to close the deal right away. They're looking for a good customer of ours and to educate people about automating their marketing, sales, and customer relations. So it's a great way to start is just by initiating that relationship with us and understanding that for us it is all about giving great content and education up front. And if it's a good fit, great. If it's not, then that's super also. We've gone through the discovery process.
Exactly. And I do have to say that everyone referred to Infusionsoft has been treated very well, and whether it turns out to be a good fit or not, they've profited from the conversation. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Colin, for spending some time with us today.
Thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Your Marketing Co-Pilot is a production of Aviation Business Consultants International. Please visit our blog for more great discussions on marketing at www.abci1.com. You can read my opinions on marketing and aviation topics on the Forbes Business Aviation blog Wheels Up at blogs.forbes.com/wheelsup. You can also find Aviation Business Consultants on Facebook and Twitter. We have a free book titled Aviation Marketing, Cost-Effective Strategies and Tools, which is available at www.abci1.com/freebook. Thank you for joining us for the Marketing Copilot. If you have any questions or comments on today's show or any suggestions for future shows, please feel free to leave them on our blog or email Paula at abci1.com.